designs that, mm-hmm. that I'm aware of right now.
Okay, perhaps I have another question. As far as legal liabilities, perhaps we need some sort of a legal briefing about what pending litigation might be out there. I think the board needs to be looking at aware
that's,
of that.
That should be in the audit report coming up.
Okay. And then I had one other
You're listening to a live broadcast of the meeting of the Interim Pacifica National Board in Berkeley, California. Stations carrying this broadcast are KPFA in Berkeley, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, WBAI in New York City, KPFK in Los Angeles, as well as on the web, WBIX.org, KPFX.org, Radio for Houston, and the Indy Media Center in Washington, D.C. If you are in the San Francisco Bay Area, the meeting is open to the public and will continue, as will the broadcast, until 6 p.m. Pacific time. So you're welcome to come on down to Wheeler Auditorium here on the University of California at Berkeley campus.
Everybody will be getting a picture of where we are this year. I don't know if it'll be that national stations need to pay anything to the local stations need to pay anything to the national office. It may end up being quite the reverse, given the history of the last year.
Well, normally, as listener support comes in, a certain percentage of it goes to national for national operations. And national, as I understand it, parcels it out. Some goes to the archives, some goes to national programming, some stays for national administration. And I know that Brian DeShazer last night said they have not been receiving their central services money and that they can't make it through the year without getting it. So I want to know is how are we going to, for instance, if KPFA next month got a bill for a whole year's worth of central administration, they probably couldn't pay it. What are we going to do?
Yeah, that's correct, Carol. The whole relationship is broken down. Mm-hmm. So really what we're operating, have been operating the last 5 months is a much more on an informal basis.
Mm-hmm.
But as we get more formal, rebuild the systems and the procedures, get our budgets approved, move forward to FY03, that whole system will get back on track. For instance, the central services allocation is 20%, 9% for the national office, 8% for Pacifica National Programming, and 3% for the archives. Everybody, especially the national units, have taken a hit on that because we've been much more concerned with meeting our, obviously, day-to-day cash flow problems and payroll, et cetera. So we've really been living by the seat of our pants in the crisis management phase over the last 5 months. But again, hopefully in the next month or so, all of that relationship between the local stations and the national office and where the balance is between them, vis-a-vis that 20% levy on listener support, that will become much more clear and we'll be able to make an arrangement with our various stations as to how we're going to move forward. In fact, we had a meeting with all the general managers yesterday to discuss that very issue in part, and we're looking at different possibilities of how we might move ahead in the future with that relationship, and both in terms of ensuring the financial integrity of the local station and the responsibilities of the national office vis-a-vis payroll, insurance, legal obligations, et cetera.
Right. So you'll be briefing us on what, how that...
Yeah, I'm sure the treasurer's report and the accountant's report, you can also ask us some more detailed questions on those issues. You'll get some clarification, too, there.
Okay, we have David in the place.
David. Dave Furtick. Dan, the reference in your report to the KU satellite system brings to mind the notion that in looking at what Free Speech Radio News has done without the satellite system, I'm curious whether there's been reflection, I'm sure there has, upon whether we can dispense with or otherwise further reduce reliance upon satellite, if that's pertinent. And I'm curious to what degree that is the case. And a second question is what efforts we have done and what the board can do to assist staff to help reinvigorate the relationship with the affiliates.
Yeah, this is a critical issue, and going forward, I think from here on out, as we've just been dealing with most of the financial crisis, we need to start looking at these key issues of programming, distribution, and affiliate relations. Clearly, the whole relationship with the affiliates has to change to one of a partnership between Pacifica and community radio stations, which it has not been, as we all know. What I would like to see develop is a network-wide conversation and discussion precisely on these points: programming, distribution, new media technologies, relationship with the affiliates, and really start to develop some initiatives and move and take some decisions about how we're going to move together. Clearly, new media technologies, we have to really examine whether or not it makes a lot of sense to continue with the KU satellite operations. But for now, it's relatively healthy. We still have some 50-plus affiliates using that system, actually more. It's a vital link for many community radio stations who cannot get other types of programming like this, any kind of programming, from the public radio satellite. It's too costly. So this still remains a vital link for many of our stations, but certainly in terms of the advancements in internet technologies, sending sound files, et cetera, has to be looked at as another possibility, more cost-effective, certainly quicker in many cases. So we'll be looking at that, I'm sure.
WBAI New York.
Is also, you know, is the KU satellite paying for itself? I mean, if we could transmit these files via internet or otherwise electronically, does that render the satellite superfluous? And if not, is the satellite a cost-effective way of transmitting this data?
I can't really answer those questions right now because we haven't analyzed the situation.
In your spare time, no?
But right now, the satellite is a breaking even. We're not; it's cost effective in that sense. But there may be better ways of distributing programming that we may need to look at and do a thorough analysis and do it in partnership. The key here, I think, is in partnership with the other constituencies and stakeholders of the Pacifica system, both from staff and producers and programmers at local levels, and with the affiliates and other sectors who really have a stake in this decision. And what we have to do is initiate that process, get people together, talking, figuring out the problems, and how to move forward. I know there's tremendous excitement, and there's a real buzz within the network based on this programming that we've been doing, these national days of programming, and especially Wednesday. You could hear the incredible talent and richness that exists in this network, and it's blooming and flowering, and we need to find ways for that creative expression to really blossom.
Okay, Ray.
Yes.
Ray and then Bird and then...
Ray LaForest. First, in praising Dan's work yesterday, I feel to acknowledge the tremendous contribution to his work made by the national staff and management and staffs of respective stations. So I want to correct that. I just want to go about talk about the issues of fundraising. I know that we have reduced the deficit by a tremendous amount in very quick period of time. But we also know that what helped us were one-time sources of revenue, such as the Alibad Insurance Company. We had some endowment that we cashed in. So these will not be available in the coming period. Can you be more detailed about what your plans are to supplement revenues, I mean the contribution from the listeners?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, Ray. We were able to reduce that deficit from 4.8 to about 1.3, primarily because we had tremendous help from various unexpected quarters, such as the insurance payout from the directors and officers liabilities insurance for the legal bills. So that came to about close to $1 million just from insurance. So that was critical. And you're absolutely right. So we're now down to about what we can call a hard 1.3. There's very limited maneuverability there. We can do a number of different things, but certainly one of them is the on-air fundraising. One of them is mailing, appealing to the listeners for support here, of trying to space that debt out over a long period of time, look for new sources of financing, including going to some Friends of Pacifica for loans. So there's a whole variety of ways that we're looking at to help us out over this period ahead. Certainly the going to Friends of Pacifica, private Friends of Pacifica, for credit is an option that is being seriously looked at right now, and we may be calling upon your assistance for that.
Okay, Hey,
Dan, one of the questions I have is, how many hard affiliates do we have at this present time? I mean, actual affiliates.
The last count was 51.
Was 51.
Yeah.
And given all the other things that you that you're faced with, is the intent to try to increase the number of affiliates at this moment in time, or to try to fix some other things before you grow the affiliate list?
The important thing is for us, in my view, to do two things. One is to be clear on what our objectives are as a network in terms of our affiliate relations, mm-hmm. number one. And number two, to initiate a process to get there. So those are the two key issues that we face. Clearly, in the short term, though, we have to improve affiliate relations, and we need to fulfill our responsibilities as a network to the affiliates, which has long been neglected. And I will freely admit that the last 5 months we have not been as engaged with the affiliates as we might have been.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, we need to spend some time focused on our affiliate relations and working with the community radio movement as a whole. But first of all, we need to figure out what our objectives are and then initiate a process as how we're going to get there.
And where are you in trying to begin to look at what the objectives are? I mean, what do you have some idea? Have you had some discussions with staff about that? Or?
Yeah, we've had a lot of discussion with staff, and in fact, we went to the National Federation of Community Broadcasters meeting in West Virginia earlier this year, and the Grassroots Radio Coalition, which is meeting in August of this year, will have a big and active presence at as well. So those discussions, I would say, are more just the beginning of where we're going, rather than having any clear final objectives of what exactly we want to achieve. But again, that discussion is going to have to involve affiliates and our Pacifica partners, because for too long, many Pacifica affiliates have quite rightly complained that Pacifica comes up with a conception about how the network wants to move forward and imposes that idea on others, and that may not necessarily be exactly where we go. But we have new models developing. The exciting thing is we have some new models of relationships developing. For instance, with the April 20th day of programming, we brought reporters and producers in to help us with that production of covering live demonstrations in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
We not only had reporters and producers from the five Pacifica stations supporting that effort, but also from the affiliates. So that we are working actively at all levels of our production in partnership with the affiliates. And so the affiliates then carried that program around the country. Similarly, with you see programs like Free Speech Radio News, a news program, independent production produced out of KPFA and WBAI, but also co-produced with WMNF in Tampa, Florida, one of the biggest community radio stations outside the Pacifica Radio Network. So we see new models of programming and production, new collaborative partnerships that is really developing and that can be very exciting in pointing the way ahead. So at least we're starting with small steps and trying to recognize that we need to move ahead in partnership with affiliates and not in terms of dictating anything to anybody.
Let me just interject that tomorrow afternoon there actually is an agenda item on the affiliates, so we'll come back to that whole question then. Okay, so we have Rob and then Janice.
Dan, to me, one of the most glorious things about Pacifica in the last years has been the days of national programming or the altercast or the pinwheel format, whatever you refer to them, if I'm not getting the nomenclature confused. I really think we're finally hearing Pacifica's voice elevated to a national level, and one of the most exciting parts of it is hearing the voices from the different signal areas. And while it is not the board's position to make programming recommendations in terms of the fact that there has been a vacuum in programming policy for some time, I would just like to say, as a member of the board, I would like to be engaged and work with you and others as much as possible on exploring options and pilots for national programming, for new media, and finding ways that the foundation can support that. I think it's going to support our local stations in terms of listeners, in terms of excitement, in terms of new directions, and obviously in terms of potential revenue. And I would just like to work with you in any way that we can on that so that we can all create some traction towards more national programming policies. Thank you.
Janice, and then Jabari. And then I would actually, if it's okay, because we are more than a half hour late at this point, which is not the fault of what's happening now. It's the fault of people not being here on time this morning, and we really got to get that under control. So, Janice.
Dan, I'm wondering how Free Speech Radio News and Pacifica National News, if it comes back, have you started planning how you're going to do that?
No. The fiscal reality is that for Pacifica to start contemplating any new national programming in the immediate short term is just not practical or a new program. I think realistically we would be looking at FY04, so another year maybe or more. At least maybe 18 months before any serious national programming, consistent national programming initiative could be launched. But obviously I would hope that the whole discussion and planning process would start very soon, and involving all the local stations and the affiliates in that discussion and debate so that we're really clear about when we move forward, we launch from a solid base.
Okay, and Jabari? Yeah.
Hi, this is Jabari Skia. In relationship to affiliates and cooperative alliances with other media, what do you see the role, or how do you see Pacifica alliances with the independent media centers and things like WBIX, not only from a point of view of content providers to the network, but also a reciprocal relationship between Pacifica providing content to them, and also cross-training, because the IMCs are one of the most innovative forms of technology utilization, especially at low cost.
Yeah, one of the things that Pacifica has to do is to reconnect with social movements around the country and around the world in an institutional way. There's many different ways that can be done. One of the ways that is being actively discussed, as you know, Jabari, what I've been presenting to the board, is through apprenticeship and training programs, which is absolutely key, especially with community organizations or schools or churches or trade unions. Those links have to be really established. I know, for instance, the independent media centers, there's been some real efforts to try to link the IMC in D.C. with WPFW, and I know those efforts are ongoing. And in the same way, we should be developing links with other organizations and community groups in a practical, institutional way moving forward. And hopefully, I would like to see that relationship develop around local news programming in particular, and bring in and make accessible Pacifica's local stations much more to the community organizations in terms of programming and production around news and public affairs.
Okay, and then finally, Carol.
Dan, I just wanted to say that on April 20th, when I was listening to the broadcasts from the peace rally, it was the first time since we won that it hit me. We did win, and I want to thank you so much. It was Pacifica doing our job again. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Dan, and thank you, Verna, again. So we need to shift gears here. We are, as I said, running late. We need everyone's cooperation. In the next section, we have five different stations in this network. We need to hear from the managers, the chairs of the local advisory boards, and then also have time for community comment for each of those stations. So this is kind of a jam-packed session here. We have asked the managers and the lab chairs to keep their remarks, you know, relatively short. We've asked them for written reports also, which I think we have just about all of them in our packets. So if the lab chairs, we're going to do it in the order that you all have on the agenda, but if the lab chairs and managers can move further up, we're sorry about the seating arrangement, that there's not enough room up here, you know, right literally at the table, but we'll make do. As this is happening, though, one thing I forgot to put on the agenda that I was reminded about yesterday, and if we could just take a few minutes and really get a tight report from Reem, who's one of the organizers of WBIX and has been a partner of ours throughout the whole struggle and these months since then. If we could just take a few minutes to get an update on BIX from Reem.
Hello, you all. So you all know us as the guerrilla outfit that have set up a national network to be able to distribute content and news about the progressive communities that Pacifica was not carrying, and also about news about Pacifica. What we also are is a training outfit for the community, but also for programmers. We're also a cyber media, a cyber affiliate of Pacifica that we're hoping to be institutionalized so as to help build a whole cyber network. And we walked out of the last board meeting with a resolution to work with the executive staff to see how they can help expand and support WBIX, and how together we can continue tapping into this resource that while we were working on reclaiming the network, we have set up outside of the network. We're organically bound to the independent media movement who helped build us and still nurtures us, and we are also intrinsically part of the progressive grassroots organizations nationally. And these are things that we want to help bring to the Pacifica network. What we have done is, after a meeting with Leslie Kagan and Dan Coughlin, we reached the conclusion that it makes sense that until this board, we work with the different stations to set up some relationships and start the process. At WBAI, we have tapped into our supporters to ensure that free of cost, WBAI has an access to fast internet. We've provided it to some of the departments, and some of our other supporters were able to raise funds so that actually next week we're going to set up the rest of it so that everybody at WBAI can get access to the fast internet. We're also talking with the staff at WBAI to set up training so that people within the station can tap into this new technology to be able to create media faster and also hopefully distribute it faster. We have started training at WBI of the community and some of the producers, and it's really interesting to see how eager producers that have been there forever are to learn the new technology, and I think that this will make their work more efficient. The other thing is WBI provides us with space to set up these computers, and we're working towards the details of also how we can help continue helping them set up live programming. We've helped WBI cover the World Economic Forum. We've recently, helped them do Clearwater, which is an environmentalist group. And basically what this means is we are using our alternative means of creating media to also, out of the box, use alternative means of outreach. We need to improve that. We need more allocation of time and resources from the station so that we can really tap into these live events to bring in and sign more members, but that's in the work. We've done similar things in Washington, D.C., where with the station and a lot of community organizations that we had helped organize to reclaim the network, we were able to hold the first town hall meeting that WPFW did. And it was on the question of Palestine and Israel. And it was really successful. The phones were ringing off the hook afterwards. And it allowed the new management to start enriching the public affairs programming. And we're talking with WPFW to continue doing that on a monthly basis. We also have been gathering and sound from all the different teachings and providing content. We've done that for WBAI in the normal programming. We're doing it often weekly. And we've done it also as premiums for the fundraising. We helped raise more than $50,000 at WBAI from content that we've helped give them as premium and as things that run. We're also are working with WPFW to do that, and also with KPFK in Texas for their upcoming fundraising event. Part of what we hope to accomplish moving forward is to be able to institutionalize, and we're looking forward to that, a way to set up time and resources and out-of-the-box thinking of how we can budget these programs so that we can improve the training within the stations and set up apprenticeship so that we can continue doing live programming as a different outreach tool and a way to uphold our mission, and also a way to harness the new media technology and the internet to bring in the resources from the movement that have helped bring Pacifica. A lot of the people that have excellent skills to enrich the network are still on the outskirts of it, and as we heard yesterday, they still are watching Pacifica. So we believe that at WBIS, because we're still so plugged into that movement and into the grassroots, we'll be able to bring that. But to be able to work with that efficiently, we need more institutionalized commitment from the network so that they remember that we are capable of helping doing national programming. We've done it a lot before April 20th. We are equipped to help set up audio in the live programs outside, and also train the different stations so that their own people will slowly be able to pick up that. We're able to hook into technologies that can provide us with the equipment at much cheaper than other normal means of purchasing can bring in. And we need a commitment from the network to work with us so that we can accomplish that. And also, just one more thing. One thing that we noticed also is, though our name is quite known, our capabilities were not, as these various things: gathering sound, bringing it, distributing it, and also training people in doing exactly that. The last thing is that we see oftentimes at these meetings, you see me, you see Errol. In reality, we're a network of more than 69 different people so far, last time I counted, and we keep changing. This is just to say that the Pacifica network can increase itself quadruple, quintuple, if it is to help it set up volunteers programs and manage these so that we can make much more reporters out of the people that are listeners but are interested in participating in the air. And also, finally, we've incubated programs that we've put on the air, like First Voices, which is a Native American program that is really very interesting in New York. Student Voices for Peace. We're now working with Suburban Show. And that's another way for WBIX to extend the network. So what cannot get on the air on these 24 hours or cannot get wholesale, it can get on WBIX, and we can work with you all to ensure that this happens. A lot of grand plans, a lot of reality that can be funded. We've proved it in Washington, D.C., where we went to the committee and we said we want to do this open forum, and they funded it. But it succeeded because the general manager of WPFW was willing to take the time to sit with us and plan that, and the lab helped. And the lab tapped into the community. And that's one model that I think we can continue tapping into. One detail is, it helps a lot if one of us at WBIX is contracted. And we talk that after this meeting, hopefully, we'll be able to do that. It's contracted full-time so that we can continue building all of that, but using that as a seed resource to capitalize on. Thanks for taking the time to listen to us, and thanks for bringing us on the section which is the five stations of Pacifica. We are Pacifica. WBIX is Pacifica on the outside, because that's what the supporters that have reclaimed the Pacifica Radio Network, that's what the progressive organizations nationally have asked us to do. Stay on the outside as a mirror, as an extension of Pacifica, and as a security blanket just in case it happens again.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for that report, and also for the ongoing work that you do. Again, I just want to remind people, a number of you came in late, that if you do want to speak during the community comment session section, you should sign up with Gail, who will make it clear. You'll talk to her about which part you want to sign up for. So she's standing right over here by the mic, and you can do that at any point. Okay, we're going to move right along. Since we are here in Berkeley, we will start with KPFA. We want to, by the way, thank Jim Bennett and everybody at KPFA, as well as the lab, and everyone who put in some time and effort to handle a lot of the logistics and the planning for this weekend. We really very much appreciate all that, including the extra task that they took on of helping to arrange the broadcast technology and all that work. So thanks a lot, Jim, to your staff and everybody else. So, Jim Bennett.
Before I actually start, I'm going to answer Dave Furtick's question about the KU satellite system a little bit. KPFA actually operates the system for free to the rest of the network. That doesn't mean that KPFA doesn't have costs for it, but basically at this particular point, the foundation itself is not bearing any costs. When it originally was created, it cost a half-time salary at KPFA. At this particular point, there's no salary devoted to it whatsoever. So just wanted to pass that on. It's right now, that's one of the things that KPFA is doing for the rest of the network.
Jim, what is the cost of KPFA?
Primarily at this particular point, the cost is telephone calls, ISDN costs, and that's it. So,
is that $500 a month or
$5,000? They're not able to hear your
question.
Here, but,
I'm sorry, just one minute.
Yeah, it more or less is around, I would say, close to $500 a month, something like that.
Right.
Let me begin as a radio person by welcoming the audience that's listening across the country to this proceeding, and also to invite those of you who are listening in Northern California to please come to this meeting. Come down to Wheeler Auditorium at the UC Berkeley campus and turn up in record numbers today and tomorrow. Support the food vendors who are outside. Visit the organizational booths. And also, you're invited to the listener appreciation celebration tonight at the Radisson, where the board is staying at the Berkeley Marina. So we wanted to mention that. I wanted to thank Chandra and Stan from the KPFA Local Advisory Board. Hard work about trying to find this location, which is, I think is a great place for this meeting to happen. And that reminds me that to me this meeting is profound in many ways, but one of the ways is the meeting of the National Board last took place in Berkeley 3 years ago. At that particular meeting in February, the board decided to jettison its relationship with the local advisory boards. At this particular time, as I look across the table, I see people on the Interim Pacifica National Board who have been selected by those local advisory boards, and I also see the chairs of the local advisory boards here. This truly is part of what the new Pacifica is all about, the reestablishment of the relationships between the local advisory board and the Pacifica National Board, and the representation that that implies is very, very important as we go forward. So it's been a profound 3 years, needless to say, but this is really, really great to be here and to see this in action. So I wanted to say that first of all. And now I will try to be brief. Good luck. All right. I'm going to concentrate on two areas. I encourage people to read my report if you haven't done that. And by the way, if for listeners and community folks, our copy of the board report is available at KPFA if you want to come to the station and read it and make copies of it or whatever. We'll certainly help you if we can, and we would encourage you to be able to have access to this as well.
Well, also, if I could just jump in, I think we'd like to put the reports from the managers and the lab chairs on our website as well, on the Pacifica.org website.
I wanted to, I know there's going to be a big financial discussion this afternoon, but I wanted to actually read to you from my report because I wanted the board, and I know the board has been thinking a lot about this, but I just wanted to give you food for thought as you prepare for the afternoon and also put it in a little bit of a KPFA perspective. As we draw closer to finalizing a budget for the next fiscal year, I urge the IPMB to deal with and make clear a path related to borrowing money from individual stations and having a monthly levy of station income. Stations cannot seriously plan a budget if they do not have an idea as to how much money might need to be borrowed within a given year. Let us budget what that threshold for each station might be in the upcoming year, if possible. Let us figure out if that borrowing would replace the levy or reduce it for those stations. Let us figure out if we can reduce the overall national levy to what is, in fact, the most functional thing for the entire network. We also need to figure out and put into writing a plan to replace stations' investment and savings accounts, which were emptied during the previous administration. What of the money that was just taken from the previous budgets? That's something that we haven't come to grips with as well. If it is impossible for this kind of economic recovery to take place at the individual stations in lieu of the overall current debt of the foundation, it should be put forward to all of us so that there will be no false assumptions. I think we can start from scratch, but we need to know that that's where we are. We need a way to move on from this debt, and we're certainly doing that, and I applaud the great work that the National Office has done and all the stations have done and the board has done. Also, the other questions to ask in terms of the levy and how stations have been borrowed from or money has been routed to appropriate places in the network, because I know it's all one pot of money. But does this reduce this amount that's been taken from the station, does this actually reduce the amount of a station's levy, or does the levy in fact partially pay for the replacement of the investment and savings accounts? I'm sure these are all things that the board has been thinking about. I recommend that you make decisions about this very soon. Otherwise, we do perpetuate a kind of holding pattern that lacks clarity and security. I also recommend, when you think of KPFA and a levy, you think of how we have raised the bar in terms of things that we pay for right now that National can't afford. KPFA is currently funding alone Free Speech Radio News, although WBAI provides lots of resources for Free Speech News right now. And also the operation of the Pacifica KU satellite system is something that KPFA is providing for, as well as the funding for Larry Bensky as a national correspondent for Pacifica. So that's, sorry for my pulpit rendition there, but I did want to get you thinking about that for this afternoon.
Thank you.
The other thing that I want to briefly mention, I know that many of the board members will have an opportunity to meet with KPFA's training director, Amelia Gonzalez-Garcia, this evening. I wanted to talk briefly about the KPFA apprenticeship program and also some things that I feel that we can do a better job in terms of formalizing the structure of Pacifica, which will really, I think, make a strong difference in terms of opening things up and in terms of addressing a lot of the issues that we sometimes give lip service to but haven't done much about. The apprenticeship program at KPFA is something that is very near and dear to me. I'm one of the people that helped found it. And one of the things that I'm really proud of is what happened the other day on Juneteenth, where Amelia acted, our training director, as the producer, and the apprenticeship graduates produced that program that many of you heard throughout Pacifica. To me, it's very, very important as our apprenticeship program is, and they did an amazing job. There were many amazing programs that day. One of the things that has been very heartening in the last few years at KPFA is how much better a job we have done in terms of integrating apprenticeship graduates throughout the station. Once they graduate, they don't leave as much as used to be the case in the early days. We need to actually formalize throughout Pacifica a training program of this kind, and I know many stations are getting started in that. But we also have to formalize structures in which those apprentices, if they choose to, can stay. And I think that some of the things that I want us to think about and actually act upon is creating scholarships or fellowships for people to be able to even afford to take those apprenticeship programs. Being able to establish fellowships after apprentices graduate from programs of that type throughout the network and on the national level as well, where people can, if they choose to, choose a different path that might be available to them throughout Pacifica if that's where their interests lie. And I also think that we need to somehow formalize a mentoring process throughout Pacifica, where there would be mentoring positions that would be available perhaps to apprenticeship graduates, where they would have the opportunity to learn from someone who is currently doing a job, learn from someone like Dan Coughlin as National Executive Director, or Bernie Avery Brown, so that when jobs open up at KPFA or at any of the other stations, there are actually people who have had the opportunity to gain those skills who can apply for those positions. So we don't get left with a void of somebody who has 20, 25 years of experience or whatever, and then all of a sudden opening things up where there are a lot of people who were given the opportunity to grow in a position or a skill would be able to apply and perhaps bring us to the next generation of Pacifica. It's very, very important for us to also form partnerships with youth radio organizations throughout the country. You'll have the opportunity to meet with youth radio this evening as well. But this is our future. We have to have both mentoring positions in every aspect of our station operations and also ways in which to incorporate other media outlets that will bring us the Pacifica of tomorrow. Right. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Can we go right to the lab report before we, you know, do any questions or whatever? Lab chair Susan De Silva, and I think she's being joined by co-chair of the KPFA lab, Willie Radcliffe. Hi, Willie.
Good morning. This is Susan De Silva, and Willie and I decided that we would both sit up here because if there are questions afterwards, he can help answer them, and also because I want it to be clear that this report was a collaborative effort of many people on the board. I got input from several people from the KPFA board. And Willie serves on many committees, including finance and diversity, and he is chair of the personnel policy committee of the station. The KPFA station board consists of 22 elected people, 14 are listener representatives, 2 are paid staff, 6 are unpaid staff. We are diverse in many ways and live throughout the Signal area. The board is strong and working well together. Our regular meetings are monthly on the second Wednesday, but we schedule additional meetings as needed. The listening public is encouraged to attend our meetings. We welcome public comment at the beginning of most meetings and on most agenda items. We try to let as many people speak as time allows. Listeners and station staff are encouraged to serve on any of the 14 station board committees. Our committees are completely open, most of them in any case, except ones like the GM search committee is not open, it's elected, but most of our committees are open to anyone. KPFA is continuing the process of recovery after years of unrest. We still have a long way to go to heal wounds and overcome distrust among various factions. The strength of the station rests on its diversity and resilience, and largely on the incredibly talented and dedicated staff. Many are overworked. Many continue after decades to give excellent service to the station. The station continues to be short of staff and in turmoil. We owe much thanks to the staff who have worked so hard and persevered under these difficult conditions. However, one of the great challenges of the station is to find new voices while retaining what is valuable from old voices. Without new voices, we won't reach new audiences. The other great source of strength at KPFA is its base of dedicated listeners who provide financial support and are the source of the station's many volunteer workers and dedicated grassroots activists. One good example of the type of work done by these activists is Pacifica Now, which started as weekly seminars and culminated with the Pacifica Now conference that just ended this week. Community members serve on the program council, the programming committee, the diversity committee, the committee to plan the IPNB, this meeting that we're having now. These folks have all worked overtime during the last few months. Many, many wonderful people work tirelessly on behalf of the station, and mostly they get no pay and very little thanks. Besides finding new voices for on-air programs, another challenge is to get the staff and the station board to work better together. The board exists to help the station and its staff in many ways, including oversight of policies and finances. We hope to improve the relationship between staff and board over time. Currently, 8 staff members serve on the station board. The board has appointed 3 reps, one from the board and 2 from the community, plus 1 alternate to serve on the station's program council. Station board members attend staff meetings, which need to be more frequent. The biggest problem at the station is lack of funds. After years of purges, people are doing several jobs at once. More funds would allow better equipment and more staff. This would lead to better internal structure and allow for clearer decision-making processes, better communication between staff members, and better use of volunteer power. Since the last national board meeting, the KPFA station board has reestablished its former committees and formed several more. Some are standing committees and some have been formed for short-term needs. The committees are all listed in my report, so I'm not going to go over all of them, but I want to mention a few. The Finance Committee is actively trying to get a handle on station and network finance issues. I'm glad to hear that at this meeting we're getting more financial information. The Programming Committee was formed to help develop programming ideas and to advise the Program Council. This is a very popular committee. Lots of community support for this committee. Community Needs Assessment Committee gathered and compiled data from public meetings held across the Signal area and questionnaires mailed to all 29,000 subscribers regarding their preferences and concerns with regard to programming. If you want a copy of our SNAC report, as we call it, Community Needs Assessment Report, you can see Chandra Hoffman. Personnel and Policy Committee, very important, reviewing policy at the station, and hopefully we'll get some standardization across the network at some point. Diversity Committee. These folks are working on the really hard issues, identifying the problems and trying to find solutions to issues of race, gender, class, and other areas of diversity at the station. The General Manager Search Committee is just being constituted. The station board has elected 4 members to that committee, and there will be members also from the staff and other constituencies. One of our priorities over the last few months was to get a lab show. A lab is local advisory board, for those people out there who don't know that, or a station board show on the air. The lab show committee finally accomplished this on May 31st. But this was difficult to do, and there was much frustration about getting this done. In the end, a slot was arranged through the generosity of the Living Room Show. Many ward members felt that we had to jump through too many hoops to get on the air at all. The current arrangement allows for one station board show per month in the Living Room slot through September. The fear is that there will be no time found for the show after that. Going forward, well, let me mention the bylaws committees first. Finally, the bylaws committee has been active in discussing alternatives and their implications to the network and the stations. The station board will have a special meeting at the end of June dedicated to trying to figure out what should be in the new bylaws. So that's covered some of the committees. I think that the three highest priorities for KPFA in the near future are hiring a permanent general manager, writing new bylaws with the rest of the network, and getting a better handle on station and network finances. Now I'd like to talk about Pacifica's relationship to the stations. Listeners all over the network need more information about what is going on at their stations and at Pacifica. At its May meeting, the KPFA station board passed a resolution strongly urging the Interim Pacifica National Board to issue a mandate to all Pacifica stations to facilitate the creation and the airing as soon as possible of special emergency settlement related programming. The whole text of that resolution is in my report, but I'm not going to read it now. But I'll read some of it. The purpose of this programming is to inform and educate the subscribers about the changes taking place at Pacifica, the history and the issues involved, and the subscribers' newly emerging role as voters. This programming is crucial if the subscribers are to take part in a meaningful way in the upcoming local board elections and the current process of rewriting the foundation's bylaws. To date, there has been an insufficient amount of such programming on Pacifica stations. Yes, all of you out there are going to be voters, so get educated. The KPFA station board's gravest concern regarding the Pacifica Foundation stems from the lack of any collaborative budgeting process. Not that long ago, station funds were used to shut down and reprogram stations. Our funds were used for legal costs to settle labor disputes and for wrongful termination lawsuits without any accounting to us. Our listeners' money was used for lawyers, PR firms, and a private investigator, all working against us. But we still have had no exact accounting of which funds came from station budgets. I'm also not going to read the parts of my report that have to do with money borrowed from us, because I think Jim covered that real well just a few minutes ago. But I do want to say that just minutes ago, I found out that another $60,000 was taken from KPFA last week. And this has happened repeatedly and without any prior knowledge to the board. And we on the board don't think this is acceptable. And earlier, Dan Coughlin said that the levy is 20%. The KPFA station board has requested that in the future, the national board specify each member station's levy before the beginning of each fiscal year as part of the Pacifica National Office and member station's budgeting process. We ask that the levy amounts be determined as part of a process of collaboration between the member stations and Pacifica. So in terms of being brief, I'll just say now that we all have a lot of work ahead of us. We are trying to do it with a new spirit of cooperation and openness, remembering the unique opportunity that we have to make a difference, not just in each station's signal area, but in the whole world. Thank you.
Thank you. I wasn't sure if Willie was going to add anything or...
Well, I'd like to say as a newcomer to Pacifica that I've enjoyed the work that is going on I'm not in Wolf. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, better.
As I say, I'm a newcomer to Pacifica. And my main reason for being here is some people came out and recruited me. Because I run a newspaper that prints what Pacifica should be doing about what's happening in the world. And I've seen that, I've seen Pacifica as an extension of what we're trying to do with our paper. Of course, you know, we have a big shipyard that's contaminated, and we thank KPFA for coming out and holding two hearings that wind up with a verdict from EPA that says that parcel A on the shipyard is not suitable for transport, and we were able to pull that off. They want to build some houses right next to a 46-acre dump that's spewing out gas, and it's coming up around people's houses. So I want to thank KPFA for holding those hearings. I want to thank the programmers who helped put it together. And I see Pacifica working with entities out there that actually is supporting Pacifica's mission already. And I'd like to see us hook up with those, whether it's print media, whether it's television, whatever. We need a training program to have an army out there of youngsters and politicizing why we're doing it. And if they go to work for anybody else, they still got that help. And we got to spend our money to make sure that our mission is carried out, because we can see what the world's coming to, and it's just scary as hell what George Bush and some of the rich people are doing, and it impacts all of us, not just little communities like Baby Rock Point. You know, we've been through hard knocks. Okay. We can have them done some other people, but those are the people that we need to reach. And I'm really ashamed to say it. I've been running the newspaper here in Bay Area for 10 years, and I found out 2 years ago that KPFA exists. Now, I'm just saying, a lot of people don't even know we're here, and that's who we have to try to reach. And,
okay.
But one of the things I want to say, one of the things I want to emphasize is the cooperation that we need as labs, whether you've done elected lab or what, out of the people in power now at the station. You cannot set up a policy unless you know what you already got. And we have to have a little trouble. People want to hold on to what little power they got and not give us the information that we need. And I'm hearing that from all of the fire stations. We got to get off of this little corner of mine. I don't want nobody in it. This is for all of us. And we're going to demand that whatever information we need be given to us, whether it's from the Pacific National Board or if it's from the local general managers and programmers. And we all have to work together. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
WBAI New York.
Signed up from the community to give comments. I just want to remind everybody, whether you're at the mic there or up here, to speak right into the microphone.
Let's
not only for everybody to hear better that's in the room here, but also for the broadcast. Otherwise, you're not going to be heard as this is being broadcast. So
we don't have a copy of the report, and
yeah.
I hope that Susan will make it available to us.
Report in the packet. It's in there. I mean, if it's missing from yours, we'll get it. But, huh?
Yeah. There are only two reports that I see here out of the five areas from the labs, from the lab chairs.
No, that one was supposed to be in there. So it somehow didn't get into your book. We'll get it to you. It is in the other book, so I believe people have it. So I must ask the people, though, who are lining up the mic now, we must have a two-minute time limit. There is a timekeeper over there. Who's okay? You have to watch what she's doing. Okay, so John Page, Nancy Delaney, Gail, I'm not sure how you pronounce your last name, Gail.
Lazy?
Okay, those are our first three.
Shall I start?
Who are you?
Nancy Delaney.
Okay, so Nancy.
All right, because John doesn't seem to be here yet.
Okay.
My name is Nancy Delaney, and I was a programmer at KPFA for 16 years, starting in the early 80s. I was in women's, in public affairs, and in production. I produced programs featuring Judy Berry, women, grandmothers out at Big Mountain, Palestine during the First Intifada. I was also the unpaid steward in the early 80s under the station management of David Salnicker, when what later got to Pacifica.